that is in sense, we have forgiven our debtors. Lead us not into temptations, but deliver us from the evil one. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, our Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, O Lord Jesus Christ. Holy Virgin, Saint Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at all times and the hour of our death. Amen. So, good evening, everyone. Before we go any further, let me welcome Jasmine. Last week and week before last, we talked about how to read the Bible, and I really am glad to hear that Jasmine was not just reading, she was reciting. So, I'm really glad. One more thing I would like to know, what was the portion that Jasmine was reading?
Acha, usually I just give the person some Psalms numbers, Psalms which are commonly read in the evening, like 51, 91, 140, 141, 34, like that. So it will fill the 10 minutes before 8 o'clock.
Okay, great. I wanted to enlighten everyone. Jasmine did it right, so really glad to hear that. I want to enlighten everyone that whenever we start reading the Bible, we say Baruch Mor. Whenever we start reading the Bible, that is how we start reading the Bible. And the word Baruch Mor means Lord bless me. And the reason why we say that is that we are seeking permission from the senior most person who is present in a community or in the meeting. And if there is no one else, we are seeking permission from God. So we say with Baruch Mor. And when we end the portion, we also say Baruch Mor because we are again seeking blessings. First, we seek blessing and permission. At the end, we seek again blessings. And Psalms are special songs. All the Psalms are songs. And therefore, we say, Glory be to thee, O God, Baruch Mor. Devame Sudhan Naki Yogyam Agunu, Baruch Mor. So, praise is something that is part of a song, and every song is ending with that praise, which is called, in theological terms, doxology. Doxa means glory. We are glorifying God. So, I thought of sharing that piece of information. I really am glad the way Jasmine read the Bible, and hope you are you're going to read today's text as well in the same manner. So welcome Jasmine as well. Welcome everyone. So let us start with verse 1 through 6, chapter 20. Please.
As in, is that Acts chapter 3?
Yeah, Acts chapter 20 verses 1 through 6.
Okay. Baruch Mor. After the uproar had ceased, Paul called the disciples to himself, embraced them, and departed to go to Macedonia. Now when he had gone over that region and encouraged them with many words, he came to Greece and stayed 3 months. And when the Jews plotted against him, as he was about to sail to Syria, he decided to return to Macedonia. And Sopater of Berea accompanied him to Asia, also Aristarchus and Secundus of the Thessalonians, and Gaius of Derbe, and Timothy and Titus, and Trophimus of Asia. These men going ahead waited for us at Troas, but we sailed away from Philippi after the days of unleavened bread, and in 5 days joined them at Troas, where we stayed 7 days. Baruch Mor.
Thank you. We, in the last chapter, we discussed how Paul had to go through a lot of trouble in Ephesus. And in that map which I shared with you, you see Ephesus It is on the seashore at the eastern side of the Aegean Sea, and just to the west of Ephesus is Athens. You see that. So the life in Athens was so painful for Paul. And therefore, Paul is encouraging the disciples there. And then he decided to go to Macedonia. If you see in the map again, Paul is sailing towards northwest, and you know, the ports were Apollonia and Thessalonica, you know, Neapolis, Philippi. These are the places. So he is sailing from Ephesus through the Aegean Sea, and he is going inland to Macedonia. And Paul, like I said, Paul has encouraged the Christians there. And he must have gone through Troas, because usually the ships sail near the land. So he must have gone through Troas, but he is not staying in Troas. He continues. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 10 following, we know that there has been a lot of troubles, a lot of factional feud taking place in the church of Corinth. And that is something that has been really troubling the mind of Paul. And when Titus is coming from Macedonia and explaining what it has been happening in Corinth, Paul was going through a painful period in his heart. And therefore, he is living in Macedonia. And this is the time that Paul must have gone to preach in area like Moesia, Illyricum, those areas that are northwest of Thessalonica and Apollonia, that is the inland of upper Greece. And all these things must have happened. Wait a minute. I would like to add one more thing. How do I know about these things? If we look into the letter to Romans, chapter 15, especially verse 19, we understand all these things. And these all are happening while Paul is traveling to Macedonia through Troas and from Ephesus. And this must have happened in AD 55 and between AD 55 and 57. That is how the scholars are having an opinion. And from there, Paul is planning to go to Jerusalem, and he wanted to be there during the time of Passover or through the time of Pentecost. And he is planning to go to Jerusalem. At the same time, Paul is very much aware that Jews are plotting against him. Everywhere where Paul went, the Jews were plotting against him. And keep in mind, he is going to the lion's den, that is Jerusalem. And he is going there, not straight, but he is going through Macedonia. And another thing that Paul, we can see in the missionary journeys of Paul, is that he never travels alone. He is always traveling with people. And these people are representatives of various churches. And it is sometimes assumed by the scholars that at least 7 people travel with Paul. And, you know, Sopater, whose name is mentioned here, his name is also mentioned Romans chapter 16, verse 21, as Sosipater. And Aristarchus, we saw him in last chapter, 19:29, Acts of the Holy Apostles, chapter 19, verse 29. And we will see him again in chapter 27, verse 2, Colossians chapter 4, verse 10 as well. And Gaius, who is from Derba. He is again, we met him in Acts of the Holy Apostles, chapter 19, verse 29. In the last chapter, we talked about Gaius and Aristarchus, Tychicus in Colossians 4:7 and 2 Timothy 4:12 and Titus 3:12 and Trophimus in Acts of the Holy Apostles 21:29, that is next chapter, and 2 Timothy 4:20. So, this is how we see how many people have traveled with him. And, you know, in the verse, in the fifth verse, we are seeing a very specific expression. And that expression is the we passage. In chapter 16, verse 10 through 17, I had discussed the we passage, that the author is speaking to us in terms of we. And the author is none other than Luke, the gospel writer. And therefore, you know, in Acts of the Holy Apostles chapter 16 verses 10 through 17, when Luke was mentioning that we passage, Luke was in Philippi. Now, Paul has reached Philippi, I would really like to say, and therefore, Luke has again getting connected with Paul, and they are getting together back, and they are trying to travel to Troas. And the church in Philippi must have made a collection, and Luke has been entrusted by the church of Philippia to carry this money with him to Paul. And Luke and Titus, they must have brought this money. That is how the scholars have been assuming or inferring. So let's go back, let's go further and learn more about the Jerusalem trip of Paul. And this is from chapter 27 through 21:16. So we cannot finish this entire travel today, but we will see how his travel to Jerusalem is taking place. Let's read from 7 through 12.
Now, Barakmore, now on the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul, ready to depart the next day, spoke to them and continued his message until midnight. There were many lamps in the upper room where they were gathered together, and in a window sat a certain young man named Eucas, who was sinking into a deep sleep. He was overcome by sleep, and as Paul continued speaking, he fell down from the third story and was taken up dead. But Paul went down, fell on him, and embracing him, said, "Do not trouble yourselves, for his life is in him." Now when he had come up, had broken bread and eaten and talked a long while, even till daybreak, he departed. And they brought the young man in alive, and they were not a little comforted. Barakimor.
Thank you, Jasmine. Okay, look at the very first verse itself, verse 7. On the first day of the week. So what is that? First day of the week. It is not the Saturday, but it is the Sunday. That is how they see. So the seventh day is called Shabbat. Even today, the Jews observe Shabbat as the seventh day. And the seventh day is Saturday. In the eighth day or the first day, it is the Sunday. Now, one thing please keep in mind, they are not coming together Sunday in the morning. Instead, they came together after work Saturday in the evening. So, it is Saturday in the evening that they are coming together, and and their intention is to break bread. What does it mean to break bread? Breaking of the bread means Holy Eucharist, that is Holy Kurbana. So they wanted to celebrate the Holy Kurbana, and what is happening there? Three things. First of all, they come together, gathering together. That's the first foundational requirement of Holy Kurbana. That means coming together. Everybody came together. And Paul is now preaching to them. He is preaching to them, and it is not just for 5 minutes or 7 minutes. Rather, it is carrying on late into the night. So he can preach to people after an entire day's work, and people are willing to listen to that. Secondly, they are meeting together in the upper room on the third floor. And the next thing is that there were a lot of lights. Please keep it in mind, there was no electricity like it is today. So there were a lot of oil lamps, and there was a man called Eutychus, young man, and he sitting there, because it was really late and late into the night, he kind of dozed off or maybe slept, and he has fallen down. The word Eutychus means fortunate, and any word that starts with ev, or in English EU, that means good. Eutychus means the one who is fortunate. And he slept. Look at that. This is again a very important passage for us to know that people went there together as a family. Everybody went there together as a family to attend the Holy Church. And he slept. He has fallen from the third floor and he died. And Paul is running down. And Paul running down, and he is kind of, descending upon this young man, and he is, embracing him. And this is very much, most of you are now connecting this with the life of Elijah as well as Elisha. In the first book of Kings, chapter 17, verse 21, Elijah is doing the same thing. He is reviving the son of the widow. And Elisha is also doing the same thing, 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 34. And Paul is repeating the same thing. That means the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of the prophets of the Old Testament, is the God of Paul as well. And he is now preaching the gospel according, the gospel of the Son of God. Now this is very much an important point which we need to keep in mind. We are not talking about a new God. We are talking about a God who existed from the beginning and from the beginning of time, and he will exist even, he existed before the beginning of time. So he is from eternity to eternity. And he spent the time up until morning, and he placed themselves and he placed themselves in the safe protection of God. So please keep in mind three things. They came together on Sunday, and all of them came together, including children. Number two, they had broken bread, that means Holy Kurbana. And number three, he preached. Now, verses 13 through 16, please.
Parakimor, then we went ahead to the ship and sailed to Athos, there intending to take Paul on board. For so he had given orders, intending himself to go on foot. And when he met us at Athos, we took him on board and came to Mytilene. We sailed from there, and the next day came opposite Chios. The following day we arrived at Samos and stayed at Trogyllium. The next day we came to Miletus, for Paul had decided to sail past Ephesus so that he would not have to spend time in Asia, for he was hurrying to be at Jerusalem, if possible, on the day of Pentecost.
Thank you. Yes, that is 16, right? Yeah, right, 16.
Yes, yeah. More.
Good. Thank you, Jasmine. Look at this portion. This is, again, has a lot of meaning in it. And, you know, we reach Assos by ship. And Paul is not reaching Assos by ship. Why? Because Paul was preaching all through the night. Usually, the ships sail from the morning. And they sail from the morning, and they reach to the next city, stay there overnight, and then they go further. And Paul was very sure that he cannot reach to the port before the ship will go. And therefore he entrusted all the people who travel with him to sail from where they were, and they sailed from their place to Assos. At the same time, Paul is walking from there, from Troas to Assos. It is not that far Paul could walk. And then, from there, they went to Miletus. Miletus is the next city, you see that, just next to Assos, just down. So if you walk, you have to walk a lot. So it's a day's walk. And if you sail, it is a very short voyage. So they came to Miletus, and from there they traveled over Lesbos and Chios and to Samos and Miletus. He is now circumventing Ephesus and he is coming to Miletus. And his intention is to go to Jerusalem for the festival of Pentecost. Look at that. They were observing Passover, and they were observing maybe the resurrection of the Lord, and they were observing the feast of Pentecost. And what does that mean? That means that they were honoring a calendar. They were honoring a calendar, a liturgical calendar. We know that we are honoring a liturgical calendar just like that. A liturgical calendar is not a new thing. Those people who say there is no meaning in the Holy Great Friday, or there is no meaning in Holy Resurrection, Pentecost, all these festivals are meaningless. They are supposed to read these holy biblical portions. The Feast of Pentecost, it is very, very important. So please keep it in mind that they were following a very specific calendar, liturgical calendar. Now, Paul is preaching to the elders of Ephesus. So let's read from 17, verse 17 through 24, please.
From Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called for the elders of the church. And when they had come to him, he said to them, "You know from the first day that I came to Asia, in what manner I always lived among you, serving the Lord with all humility, with many tears and trials which happened to me by the plotting of the Jews, how I kept back nothing that was helpful, but proclaimed it to you and taught you publicly and from the house and from house to house, testifying to Jews and also to Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And see now I go bound in the Spirit to Jerusalem, not knowing the things that will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit testifies in every city, saying that chains and tribulations await me. But none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I may finish my race with joy and the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. Barakimon.
Thank you. Thank you, Jasmine. So look at that. Paul is not, disembarking in Ephesus. Rather, Paul is going to Miletus. And he is staying there for a while. And that doesn't mean that he is not concerned about the church in Ephesus, or nor he is scared of the people of Ephesus, but he was now trying to spend more time in Miletus and empowering and enhancing the church in Miletus. And the distance from Ephesus to Miletus is around 40 miles. So, it is not that far. And people could come and see Paul from Ephesus. And look at that verse 17. The word it is used there is called the elders of the church. The word elders, in Greek, it is written as presbyter. The word presbyter means, it literally translated as elder, the one who has a seniority among the faithful. So that is presbyter. In Malayalam, we call that Achan. In English, we translated that as priest or elder, and the word pastor has a different meaning here. It is not what exactly here, what it means. Pastor means the one who is shepherding the sheep. And here, the word is used as, can be translated literally as priest. So keep that in mind. It's very important. And and Paul is following his gospel preaching spree for three separate group of people. On one hand, he always goes and preaches to the Jews. And when the Jews reject him, he will go and talk to the Greeks or the ones who are not Jews. And then finally, he will talk to the Christians. In chapter 13, verse 16, we see how he is paying high importance in preaching to the Jews. In verse chapter 14, verse 15, following, we see how he is preaching to the Greeks and other faithful. And 17:22, for instance, the same thing. And here we see how he is preaching to the faithful, Christians. And he is highlighting how a modest as well as an exemplary life that he was following. And again, Paul is going to Jerusalem. And while he is going to Jerusalem, he knows how hard it is for him to be in Jerusalem. And he is very much worried about the people for whom he is pleading for to God. And he is not worried about himself. And therefore, please see chapter verse 22 following. And see, now I go bound in the spirit to Jerusalem, and not knowing the things that will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit testifies in every city, saying that chains and tribulations await me. So he is very much aware of his own lack of safety, but that doesn't matter to him. He is interested in the well-being of the church. And the Holy Spirit is always prompting Paul. And and this text is now ending Look at that. I'm reading verse 24 now. But none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I may finish my race with joy and ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. The gospel of the grace of God. Now, who is this? The grace of God. Many people often confuse the word grace. In the Orthodox understanding, the word grace means also Jesus Christ. Let me repeat. In the Orthodox understanding, the word grace means Jesus Christ. That is why we do not say every day for every little thing by the grace of God. That is a Western understanding. Saint Augustine, the Western saint, he coined the phrase, not on our merits, but on his grace. And many have followed that statement. However, in the Orthodox understanding, grace is a very specific intervention and presence of Jesus Christ through Holy Spirit on a very specific time, at a very specific time too. And that we call the Holy Mysteries. For instance, the Holy Kurbana, baptism, Holy Miron, marriage, priesthood, all these Holy Mysteries, special grace happens. And that is why before receiving the Holy Mystery and after receiving the Holy Mystery, the person has some change happen. Before the wedding, before the marriage, it was a man and a woman. But after the marriage, they are being bound together by the grace. And that is grace. So if I call it every day, that is not grace. I would rather say it is mercy. We are kind of trying to separate between mercy of God and grace of God. I know I am very much aware of what I am saying. Maybe this is a new idea to some of you. Let me repeat. The guidance and protection that we enjoy every day is mercy of God, and the grace is something that is happening at a very specific time, through a very specific mystery. So therefore, grace means Jesus Christ. And that is what Paul is mentioning here, to testify to the gospel of the grace of God, the gospel of Jesus Christ. And now let's read verse 25 through maybe 31, please.
Parakimol, and indeed, now I know that you all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, will see my face no more.
Hello?
Therefore. Hello, Achan, kya ho?
Hello?
Hello?
Are you there?
Hello?
Rupa, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear both of you, Jasmine, as well as what you are saying. Are you not able to hear us?
Hello, Rupa. Are you hearing
yes, sir.
Me calling you?
Yeah. I am able to hear you, sir.
Hello?
Hello.
Rupa, can you hear me?
Achha, I'm able to hear you. We are able to hear you. Something wrong at your end, maybe.
Hello.
Acha, are you able to hear us? Hello.
Shall I carry on reading?
Just wait for a minute. I'll ask Achyut to disconnect and join again. It seems there is some problem at his end.
Okay.
Just wait for a minute. Okay. Thank you.
Okay.
Hello, Acha. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, now I can hear you. I don't know why you were not able to hear
it. We were able to hear what you were saying, but it seems what Jasmine and I were saying, you were not able to listen. Some problem with the connection, I guess. I don't know. Yeah.
Oh, it's okay. So, did you hear what I just said when I was finishing reading? Verse 24?
Yeah, Jasmine, you asked Jasmine to continue reading from 25 onwards and she was about to read it.
Okay, now please, let Jasmine read it. Please.
Barakimala, and indeed, now I know that you all, among whom I've gone preaching the kingdom of God, will see my face no more. Therefore, I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all men. For I have not shunned to declare to you the whole counsel of God. Therefore, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God which he purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Also from among yourselves men will rise up, speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after themselves. Therefore watch and remember that for 3 years I did not cease to warn everyone day and night with tears. Barakimos.
Thank you, Jasmine. This is a portion which we need to pay big attention. So I want to say that. Big attention, please. Let's start with verse 31. It says that Paul stayed with them for 3 years. And for those 3 years, he did not stop warning everyone day and night with tears. And what did he warn them? He warned them that take heed to yourself, verse 28, and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. For now I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Also from among yourselves, men will rise up, speaking perverse things, to draw away the disciples after themselves. And this is something that Paul is very much concerned. You know, let's see. Comparing the faithful as sheep and the group of faithful as the herd is not a new thing. In Psalm 78 verse 52, Isaiah chapter 53 verse 6, Ezekiel 34:11, and in the New Testament, say Matthew chapter 10 verse 16, John 10:15 and 16, chapter 21 verse 16, etc. And Jesus himself saying that I am the good shepherd. And Jesus is also speaking about the wolves. And also the wolves that are wearing the skin of sheep. And this is the context that Paul is mentioning to the leaders of the church in Ephesus. Especially, please pay attention to the to verse 28. And therefore, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. You know the translation of the word overseer? That is episkopoi. The word episkopos is very important. Verse 17, Paul talked about presbyter. And verse 28, Paul is speaking about episkopos. That means episkopos is translated as bishop. In the early church, a presbyter and a bishop, that were two terms interchangeably used. And today that's different because the church developed and the threefold ministry started coming up. And what is the threefold ministry? Threefold ministry is that there are deacons and there are presbyters and there are episcopoi. And above the episcopoi, there are metropolitans. Actually, a metropolitan and an episcopos, they do not have too much of separation of spiritual power. An episcopos can do anything a metropolitan can do. However, a metropolitan has more authority over the rest of the episcopoi because of his administrative power. So, Paul is speaking about these, and Paul is speaking to the episcopoi or the presbyteroi, the bishops and the priests of the Church of Ephesus. And then in 27, he is saying, I have not shunned to declare to you the whole counsel of God. And what is that? I try to keep you all safe. That is what Paul is trying to say. And in 25, he is telling them, you will not see my face again. So it is a speech that Paul is making that is a speech of an ultimate departure. He will never see their face and they will never see his face from then on. Paul knew that. In verse 22, now I go bound in the Spirit to Jerusalem and the Holy Spirit in verse 23, except that the Holy Spirit testifies in every city. That means Paul is very well aware of his own future because the Holy Spirit is guiding him. And therefore, Paul is telling in verse 28, I want to pay a little more attention to verse 28. Therefore, take heed to yourself and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to shepherd the church of God. Now pay attention to which he purchased with his own blood. In Malayalam, this verse is translated as Avanda Sonda Jeevan. That is how it is translated. In English, it is translated as his own blood. More accurate translation is his own blood than his own life. Why? Because in the Bible, the word, the concept blood is the carrier of life. And therefore, in the Old Testament, when somebody is cutting an animal to eat, they are not supposed to eat blood. And Jesus has purchased you all with his own blood. And that very word, his own, that doesn't mean the blood of a human being whose name was Jesus. It is the blood of God become human. And therefore, that has eternal value. Keep it in mind, my dear friends, that his own blood is so important in the parlance of Paul. You know, in the old days, when we used to write letters to our own people very close to us, in Malayalam we used to write, Ennu Swandam. That had a huge meaning there. It really meant a lot. Nowadays, we say regards, with best regards, prayers. But your own. And how much more is when it comes to the life of Jesus Christ with his own blood. I always have a beautiful analogy, the analogy of a candle. It guides me a lot. A candle is there burning and the flame stays. The flame never goes down, only the wax goes down. At some point, the candle ends and the flame ends too. And that candle is burning of its own. Although God doesn't end, but this analogy is very, very important. When we look at our own children, we have to have this feeling of our own. You know, in the Western world, especially in the United States, our children do not understand this concept, which many of us have brought from India. This our own, this ownership. I own my children. I own my church. I own the people of my church. That ownership. This word is very much highlighted in the corporate world. You have to have the ownership of the place you work. You have to own the school that you teach. You have to own the hospital that you work for. You have to own the company that you're working for. This very word has a huge huge implication. We are owning. Same way Jesus has owned. Jesus is owning us all. The very word Lord, it means owner. When we call Jesus Christ my Lord, that means you own me. Look at the word landlord. The one who owns the land. In Malayalam, we can call it Udamastan. The word Kartav in Malayalam means Udamastan. Owner. So I wanted to pay a little more attention to this verse 28. And 28. Please, Jasmine, verse 32 through 36. Sorry, 38.
Barakimor. So now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. I have coveted no one silver or gold or apparel. Yes, you yourselves know that these hands have provided for my necessities and for those who were with me. I have shown you in every way by laboring like this that you must support the weak. And remember the words of the Lord Jesus that he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And when he had said these things, he knelt down and prayed with them all. Then they all wept freely and fell on Paul's neck and kissed him, sorrowing most of all for the words which he spoke, that they would see his face no more, and they accompanied him to the ship. Barakimor.
Thank you. You know, let's pay attention to these verses. In verse 32, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, again, his grace, that is, the word of his grace, that means the gospel of Jesus Christ, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. Look at that verse. Who is the sanctified one? Every Christian is sanctified. That's why Paul is writing multiple occasions. I am writing to the saints in Corinth. And that doesn't mean that you are living only in this world. You are living after this world as well. If you are a baptized Christian, you are a holy person and you are living further after your life in this world. And again, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. And this is also one reason why we pray for our beloved departed. Please do not think that Parivala Thiruveni is more saintly than any of our beloved own departed. Parivala Thiruveni is so saintly, and equally saintly are our departed as well. But the difference is that we consider Parivala Thiruveni more saintly because of his life in the world as more saintly, and therefore we ask him to pray for us while we are in this world. The moment that we go from this world, everything that we do or that we did, that burden is definitely upon us, but at the same time we share the same light, the abode of light with Parivala Thiruveni. And therefore, it is equally important for us to pray for our departed as well. And Paul says, I have coveted no one silver or gold or apparel. You yourself know that these hands are provided for my necessities and for those who are with me. And, you know, Paul is saying, I am not indebted to you in any worldly manner. I work for my own sustenance as well as the people with me. And this is very well in parallel to Prophet Samuel, chapter 12, verse 3, the first book of Samuel. He is speaking to the children of Israel. And St. Paul repeats this in first letter to Corinthians, chapter 9. And other disciples of Jesus Christ. At the same time, Paul is speaking that it is important to pay for the work of Christians, and especially the leaders among Christians. He does not say that he is he says that he is not indebted to anybody. And there is a specific word here, verse 35, I think. Yes, 35. It is a statement of Jesus Christ. In Malayalam, there is a song, Vanguga Alla Uttama. There is a song like that. And that is being citing from this particular portion. It is being attributed to Jesus Christ. At the same time, no gospel is mentioning this expression, this word, this statement of Jesus Christ, and therefore the last verse of St. John's Gospel, Jesus spoke a lot more other stuff than what it is being written in the Gospel. That is exactly what we hear here, and he is now leaving Miletus. He is getting on the ship and is sailing to Jerusalem, and St. Luke is explaining all these things in a very vivid manner so that we get a clear idea of Paul's journey. Let me summarize what we talked about. In chapter 20, verses 1 through 6, Paul is going to Macedonia and to Greece, and how it was for him to travel with the group of people, and in the next 5 verses, Paul in Troas, we see how a liturgical calendar was observed and how they celebrated the Holy Eucharist, how they came together on Sunday, not on Saturday, according to the tradition of the Jews. Now they are coming on Sunday, the day of resurrection, and how the word, the preaching of the word of God is so important. Paul is reviving the man called Eutychus, just like Elisha and Elijah did, and then he is going to Miletus. He is now entrusting the people, the presbyter, presbyteroi and episkopoi, that means priests and bishops, which were interchangeable words in those days, and how he has been preaching to them. Please pay attention to verse 28. I paid a lot of time explaining the verse 28. I also said the word grace of God is a parallel expression or a synonym for Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ bought everybody by his own blood. Blood is the carrier of life. And then we talked about the words of Jesus Christ. Paul is citing. Oh, I missed this. The faithful are compared to sheep, and the church is compared to flock, and the leader of the flock is considered as a shepherd, which is otherwise called pastor, which I mentioned in the class today. And Paul is entrusting everyone in the protection of God. One thing I missed in this whole entire chapter, I would like to touch base with that as well. Verse 26, therefore I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all men. Does that mean that Paul is washing his hands and going away? Actually, that doesn't mean in that way. Instead, that means that I did my part, now it is your job, O presbyteroi and O episkopoi, O priest and O bishops, that you protect the people. I am compelled to compare this portion with Galatians chapter 1 verse 8. And that is the same thing that we sing in the Holy Qurbana. If one comes to preach to you other gospel than what we preach to you, may he be an angel, let him be accursed. You have to protect the people, the faithful among your company. Thank you very much. If anybody has a question, then I can spend maybe 3 minutes.
Thank you, Ajay. If anybody wants to ask a question to Ajay, please press star and the number 5 on your handset or mobile phone. And it is equivalent to raising a hand, and I'll unmute that line, and you can directly ask Ajay the question.
Nobody has a question?
So far, I haven't seen any raised hand. Last week, we had a very lively Q&A session. We had 3 questions coming from our participants. So this week, so far, I'm not seeing any raised hand. Star and 5. You can press star and then 5. And I'll unmute the line. Yeah, Ajay, it seems nobody has any questions this week.
It seems everybody understood everything.
Yeah, seems so.
That's very good. I'm glad. Let me reiterate it again. Let me ask this question. What does it mean, grace of God?
Grace of God is what we experience at specific times through holy mysteries.
You're right. And grace of God means also Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Grace of God means Jesus Christ. So please pay always that big attention, grace of God. It is also a synonym for Jesus Christ. And then if there is no other questions, we can wind down. Thank you very much, Jasmine, for reading the Bible very, very beautifully. You are not reading, you are chanting. Appreciate that. And if you have any announcements, Rupa, please go ahead.
Yes, announcements. We have our regular faith study Bible class tomorrow at 8 p.m. Central Time by Thomas Matthew Hudson. And next week on Wednesday and Thursday, we will be having a New Testament class on Wednesday, chapter 21 by Jacob Matthew Hudson, and on Thursday, faith class. So that's all for announcements. Thank you, Acha, for taking a detailed lesson on chapter 20. We learned many things, especially grace and the difference between grace and mercy. Also, Ajahn taught us about the importance of ownership through verse 28, which, as you know, is one of the memory verses for this year, and it is a very important verse in Acts. Thank you, Ajahn, for the detailed class, and thanks to all who have joined our class this evening. Thanks to Jasmine Varghese, who read Psalms and Acts today. She is from St. Gregorius Church, San Francisco. She is a young and spiritually strong member of our MMVS in that church. Thank you, Jasmine, for volunteering to read Bible today. Appreciate your time and help. That's all from my side, Acha. If there is anything for to say, you can say it. Otherwise, we'll wind up with prayer, Acha.
Thank you, Ruba. I apologize for the telephone connection problems. Otherwise, we could have been finishing it on time. I don't have anything more to add. See you all next Wednesday evening. Let's pray. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, since we have forgiven our debtors. Lead us not into temptations, but deliver us from the evil one. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. May the love of God the Father, the grace of the Holy Begotten Son, communion dwelling in the Holy Spirit be upon us all from now on forever and ever. Amen. God be with you all. Be safe and be protected from now on forever and ever. Amen. Thank you. Good night.
Thank you, Acha. Thank you, Jasmine. Thank you, everyone.